The Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Subtitles?
Subtitles would be good. Why did Chewie never have subtitles?
Or Lumpy?
They don't know about Lumpy yet.
Hello, my media masochists, and welcome to our second holiday episode of The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I watch and dissect the very worst the television medium has to offer. I'm Matt Murphy, and I'm launching a campaign to name the Mandalorian's Baby Yoda Yappo, because I love him. He is so special, and he deserves a special name.
Is that a real thing?
I do call the Baby Yoda Yappo, yes.
Okay.
Thank you for chiming up, because I wanted to introduce you as the person who brought their very own Ewok with her today. Please welcome Rachel Bieber.
Hello, and I'm here with my Ewok. Malka dog.
Malka dog.
She's a little dog and she's a rescue and I love her.
And she is an IT protocol droid who can sass you in at least two languages. It's Alex Humphrey.
So, dasune.
That didn't sound very sassy. That sounded very polite.
I thought I was going for an android.
I don't know why that made me laugh. And of course, we have the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy. It's Tachi, the human IMDb.
Why wasn't he the protocol droid?
Who, me?
Wouldn't that make more sense? Yes, that would have made more sense.
Shouldn't I be the badass bounty hunter?
Too late.
I could be like the weird acid cartoon Boba Fett.
You're more like the Sarlacc.
Whoa, that was cold.
Well, jeez. I mean, look how many teeth she has.
You are painting a very strange picture of me for the people who haven't seen me before.
Yeah, honestly,
she's always hungry, but like digests things really, really slowly.
I am entirely above ground.
Ah, but in the special edition, the Sarlacc did in fact exit the ground. So
that wasn't a Sarlacc though. That was a dinosaur of some sort.
We're getting off track, everybody.
just like the holiday special.
Yes. So we watched the entirety of the Star Wars holiday special. The year was 1978. The original Star Wars had made more money than any other independent film in history. So naturally, CBS wanted in on that action. And what better way to do that than to Christmify the crap out of it? The result was the biggest embarrassment of George Lucas's life. Even though he was allegedly not very involved in the production, it was the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah, it was, there is tell that he tried to buy up all of the broadcast copies and destroy them so that there were none.
Do you think he was justified in trying to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Yeah.
It has since become the worst kept secret of television history. It's very easy to find, is what I'm saying. We found several cuts on YouTube. I went to a convention years ago. I rarely go to conventions. This was a Fangoria convention, which is a horror convention. Oh, I guess that does make sense. because there was a booth with just stacks upon stacks of DVD rips of the Star Wars Holiday Special. This is not a hard thing to find, as much as George Lucas wishes it was.
It's a hard thing to watch, though.
100% true.
Oh my god.
I can't. It is like the special doesn't want to be watched. It's like it fights you at every second.
It's so slow.
It felt very Tim and Eric.
Yes. Oh my god.
Because it's basically daring you to change the channel or do anything else.
I don't even know what that means.
Tim and Eric, Awesome Show, Good Job.
I've heard of that, but I never watched it.
It's a show that was on Adult Swim. I don't know if it's still concurrent. But basically they do things that are just so weird and off-putting that they're basically daring you to change the channel the whole time. And that's the joke.
I see. That doesn't seem like a good joke to me.
I respect it.
What about comedy. Too Many Cooks? Did you enjoy that? Because
I did.
We got Too Many Wookiees.
That was a one-off.
So, I guess we got to get into it. We gotta talk
about. It's gonna be hard.
How do you get into this?
Well, okay. We can tell our listeners why we started by making horrible Wookiee noises at the beginning.
Because of the 9 minutes of conversation and like regular 3-camera shooting of a scene in the Wookiee household in Chewbacca's household where he is not yet. Between the mother, Mala, the grandfather, Itchy, and Chewbacca's child, Lumpy.
And as you stated, this is Chewbacca's family. Chewbacca and Han Solo, meanwhile, are desperately trying to make it home for Life Day. Life Day is apparently some sort of Wookiee holiday, and Chewbacca has never missed it.
Yeah. Because remember, this is wisely the Star Wars holiday special, not the Star Wars Christmas special. They were...
That would make sense.
Yeah. How effing weird would it be if they did a Star Wars Christmas special?
This was... It Christmas wouldn't have been any weirder than
if that. Christmas existed, though, in the Star Wars universe. That would open up a whole bunch of questions.
It's like, wait, how long ago was it? Wait, how far? Wait a second. Wait a second.
So, what we've been describing...
We haven't described anything.
We've left out a key bit of description. I think our audience might be imagining this house looks like it belongs in Star Wars.
Oh no, it belongs in the 60s.
It's just a 60s house.
It is from the Jetsons.
It's a Jetsons 60s house. It's circular. There's like a central stove thing. Everything looks like IKEA furniture.
Very square.
They have a nice kind of sliding bookshelf thing with their communicator device on it.
They have two communicator devices.
Yeah, they have the legal one and the illegal one that they communicate with most people on.
And we get very acquainted with this house because the first 9 minutes of the Wookiees is subtitle and dialogue free. Well, human dialogue free.
Yeah, there's plenty of dialogue.
It just grunted. It's Bigfoots grunting at each other.
Yeah. Since I know we're a little scared of how much time we spend on this one, our grunts summed up the first 9 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
I was
many
itchy.
Other conversations since.
Yeah, they kept coming back to it. After every weird interstitial, there are a lot of them.
Okay, so this is... The Wookiee House is a framing device. Now... This is essentially a variety show.
It was sponsored by General Motors.
Yes.
That's true.
Now, variety shows, I mean, we still kind of do stuff like them if you actually watch TV on TV, but it used to be a much bigger thing. You would have different acts on. You have a music act. You have maybe a comedy act and a dance act. So imagine that, and that's happening in the midst of this little story in Chewbacca's house. So I believe the first act is a circus.
I knew none of this. So you gotta understand, I had no idea I was going into a variety show. I thought we were gonna get plot.
Mm.
I was shocked that it was 90 minutes.
It's a holiday special.
Because I thought it was a 30-minute special, and it was 90.
Okay, so did you snap the second a holographic miniature circus appeared?
No. It was... 3 minutes in to the holographic miniature circus, and it was still going strong, and we weren't at the halfway point yet.
Mm.
That's when I snapped.
Okay, but we were watching Lumpy watch it.
Yes, which is insane. Ooh. Can you imagine turning this thing on TV and being like, ooh, goody, Star Wars, and getting this acid trip instead?
So,
it's so weird.
Here's the thing. We haven't really talked about the appearance of the Wookiees yet.
Oh, God.
Because we have our three Wookiee, we have our Wookiee family. The mom, Mala, is a very tall Wookiee. We have Grandpa Itchy, who is gray and has like a ridiculously jutting out jaw because he's missing teeth, I guess. And he walks with a cane.
Yeah, he's old.
And then he has white fur. And then we have Lumpy. Lumpy is this horrific genetic monstrosity that's like a combination of a dog and a baby.
You know what it's like? You know those videos you'll see online where they take like a human mouth and a human eyes and superimpose them on a dog's face?
Yes! Yes, that's exactly what it is!
That's what it looks like.
And it's a horror. It is an absolute horror. It's scary. So the circus is colorful and like everyone's dressed up as like cat people.
And it's like framed around that like table fighting game you see in the first Star Wars movie.
Chess.
Yeah, it's kind of chess. So they sit down at this table. I'm like, oh, they're going to play that game in the first Star Wars movie. That makes sense. They had product placement. And then just this thing, like, colorful parade starts on the table. And I'm like, what? What is this? And then it, like, gets blown up and starts taking up more of the room. And there's this, like, weird hoodoo. It was like it was out of Lidsville.
Yeah, at this point, colorful. You're like, oh, wait, who's
yeah, saying? I said, do you see why Lidsville is fine?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, this is fine. Uh-huh.
I agree with you now. Lidsville's A-okay.
Yeah.
This thing was terrifying.
This is, a little circus is not good television. A circus is interesting because you watch it live and you're watching stunts. We're watching it.
They were good acrobats.
Yeah, but we're watching a Wookiee watch a hologram with many cuts.
Uh-huh. We're not emphasizing enough just how present Lumpy is. Because in case you forget it's a Star Wars holiday special, in case you get wrapped up in the circus, they'll just do a reaction shot of Lumpy and you scream.
Okay, yeah, it's like if you tuned into a baseball game and for whatever reason the camera kept gutting to a hairy guy in the audience. And you're like, I want to watch the baseball game. No, you're going to watch The Spectator.
So we go from this to Mala calling Luke in the secret TV communicator.
Oh my God. The Luke Skywalker
himself. The Luke Skywalker.
Played by Mark Hamill.
Yes, where he is literally fixing a ship with R2. Like, the camera is on him fixing the ship with R2, and they're doing poorly, and they're acting poorly. And Mark Hamill was wearing very strange makeup.
He looked like a Ken doll.
He did, you're right.
He looked weird. He looked like he had no flaws in his skin. It was very unsettling.
I don't even know what to say about this scene.
It was just like, well, Luke's here too.
Mala's calling Luke because she's like, hey, have you seen my husband Chewbacca?
And he's like, they're not there yet. Oh no.
And then that's basically it. Mark Hamill stares directly into the camera the entire time.
Well, he's talking into the telephone
communicator. It is awful. I didn't like it.
It felt like he was at gunpoint. I mean, it felt like Mark Hamill was being threatened to do the scene, and someone was standing off stage whispering instructions at him. Because that's how he acted, too, where he's like, oh, I need to do this now. I need to fix this now. Oh, I'm talking again. Okay.
So we cut from that.
So we get some exposition by the legitimate television screen in the house, which just says, like, sorry, no spaceships around.
Yeah, right.
No spaceships. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because Mala is desperately looking for Chewbacca.
Yes.
And then she decides she's going to call
her friend,
the shopkeeper.
Yeah.
Who is a human who runs a shop, and he's dealing with an Imperial, and he just yammers on and on and on.
One thing that's exquisite about this special is every time you think, oh God, this is as bad as it's going to get, it gets worse. And this guy was much worse than Wookiees yelling at each other.
No, I don't. I didn't think so. Oh man, I can't decide.
He yammers constantly.
It was very boring.
He's unbelievably boring and occupies space where, like, at first, I'm like, what the hell are all these weird cutaways to, like, this circus and this cooking show? But then, by the halfway point, I'm like, please, don't go back to the Wookiees.
They were the central figures. So, well, in the shop, Mala calls him, and he's like, oh, don't say a thing. Your rug is on its way, obviously code for husband, and the little old lady in the next town has it. You might say
she made it by hand.
Oh yeah, she made solo. It by hand. Solo. Yeah.
Which I will posit is a better line than Han Solo getting his name in Solo, a Star Wars story.
Haven't seen it. Wouldn't know.
It's in the trailers.
Oh.
I didn't
forgot the trailers.
I don't blame you.
And then you're like, cool, well, we're done with that character, right? But no, the scene cuts and we stay with him. Because we have to have a kooky scene where there's like an off-duty Empire trooper, one of the, like, the black helmeted ones, who isn't a Darth Vader, like a mini Vader.
But a Darth Helmet, for sure.
Darth Helmet, yes. And he, like, spends, I would say the shopkeep spends 5 minutes trying to sell him a hairbrush. Like, he explains the features of this hairbrush. He pulls out the instruction manual. He explains it. They make some jokes about how he smells.
We're expecting him to, like, electrocute him or something.
Yeah, I was expecting him to like shank the Empire Imperial guy, but he doesn't.
And he just gets robbed.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's the scene.
But the character of the shopkeeper will be returning.
Don't you worry.
But why on earth did they have that seat there?
To introduce him.
To fill time.
Thank you. It's not funny. It doesn't do much.
The 70s were, there was an oil crisis going on. People needed entertainment, Alex.
So,
well, this is when I stood up and got a slice of pizza because I already had the next scene memorized. It's the cooking scene.
The cooking
Holy
scene.
Holy moly. Okay, so then we're in the kitchen with Mala, and she's looking at rectangular discs, holding them up to the light to see which one she wants, and then she plugs one into the television, and it's Tim... Is it Tim Conway? No.
Harvey
Korman in drag, and it's a cooking show a la, like, Julia Child.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely channeling Julia Child.
And it's terrible instructions on how to cook bantha.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then how you mix it and whisk it at the same time, and then he starts chanting that.
Stir, whip, whip, stir, stir, whip, whip, stir, beat!
When she says beat, another arm pops out from underneath.
Which is a funny bit.
That is a funny bit, and there's a total of four arms.
This scene will drive anyone up a wall. A cooking show exists so that you can learn how to make a recipe and maybe cook along. We are watching fictional food being made by an alien being watched by a Wookiee. Why does this exist in any capacity?
And it's so long, it's like 7 minutes.
This was, I think, after Saturday Night Live premiered, yes? Because that came out in 75?
Around then, yeah.
It's possible that they saw the Julia Child sketch on Saturday Night Live, where Dan Aykroyd is Julia Child.
Well,
and decided they were going to do that.
I disagree because this guy was on the Carol Burnett show.
Oh.
And so the whole sketch thing and being a comedic character was a thing.
Oof. So that finishes, and I don't quite know what happens.
Well, I think the next...
It literally does. It's done.
She turns it off in frustration, I think.
The next scene is the magical sex helmet, right?
Okay, that's basically what I have. So the shopkeeper...
Let me check my notes. Sex machine. Here we go.
So the shopkeeper arrives at the Chewbacca household bearing Life Day
Are they the Baccas?
I don't know.
Can I do this one? This one perplexed me.
Yes.
So he gives out gifts to everyone. Like, he gives a little Lumpy, like, a Lego set. And he gives... He gives Mama Baca, I forget her name already.
Mala.
What looks like a sewing kit, it isn't, but we learn later what it is.
Yeah, and we learn about Lumpy's gift too.
And he gives Itchy, like, this chair, which looks kind of like a chair you'd see at a salon with a big bucket over your head. And he, like, sits him down. He's like, hey, old man, I know what you want. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. And he, like, gives him, like, this little, like, another, like, rectangle.
A cartridge.
Yeah, I think I thought the cartridge was all he brought.
Yeah, he brought the cartridge.
Oh, he already had the chair.
The power supply.
He called it a proton pack for the mind evaporator. And you're like, what? What is Grandpa into?
So Grandpa sits down, and they slot this thing in. And they put a bucket on his head. And then... We're treated to this slow fade into a kaleidoscope, which looks like stars sort of kaleidoscoping in and out. And you're like, oh, okay.
It's a hallucination machine.
Yeah. I was like, that's fine. And then they're like people kind of dressed as fish or like maybe they're supposed to be water, like wobble into frame and flop around there for about 10, 15 seconds and then fade out of frame. And then in fades, what's her name?
Diane Carroll.
In fades Diane Carroll.
Who is freaking gorgeous.
Oh my god, she's stunning.
And might I point out, human.
And in this bizarre white wig.
Yes.
And she starts to talk like, I know what you want of me. I know what I'm here for. I know what you need. And the more she talks and the more she behaves, the more you're like, is this sex machine? Because there's no other explanation for what this could be.
Because Star Wars.
Yeah, but my question while we were watching this is, why is his fantasy woman human and not a Wookiee?
Well, it's like humans being into furries, but backwards.
Thank you, Tachi.
That'll be $30.
I was disturbed by her lack of hair. I would feel like that's very important to a Wookiee. But what do I know?
Well, she sings, I wrote down this minute now.
Jinx. Yeah. So after going on and on about, like,
I only exist for your pleasure.
I only exist for your pleasure.
She doesn't say that, but basically.
It's fairly unambiguous language that she's using about, like, I am here for your gratification. And then suddenly she just bursts into song.
Like a Bond song, until it goes on much longer than any Bond credits.
So I have a theory about this song. I have a theory. Diane Carroll is an AI that was an instantaneous AI that was generated when they plugged in all the devices.
I mean, they practically say it, because she says, like, I exist, I am your ideal, I exist from your mind.
And I believe she's singing to extend her life. Because she's just, like, the song just keeps going on. She keeps talking about how we only live in the moment, and a moment is all we have, and all that nonsense. And it's...
So you're saying this is a tragic scene.
It felt pretty tragic that I was wasting my life watching it, yes.
Where a computer is forced to sing for its life.
Yes.
Lest the being plugged into it become bored and end it.
By turning it off.
It's pretty horrifying.
Yeah. Star Wars.
There were children who sat down to watch this special.
Okay.
And turned it off.
Yes. All right. So this scene ends, and then they call Carrie Fisher. Mala calls Carrie Fisher.
No. She calls Leia.
Sorry. And who's Leia with? Is she with 3PO?
3PO.
Yeah. No, Leia and C-3PO called Mala.
Right.
Because they wanted to talk to Han and Chewie.
But Han and Chewie aren't there.
They're not there yet.
End scene.
That's pretty much it.
Good job.
And that's when I believe stormtroopers kick down the door.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, there's a knock on the door, and they're like, oh, Chewbacca's home. And they open the door, it's stormtroopers pointing guns at them.
Mm-hmm. So the shopkeeper, he's still in the house because he just gave Grandpa a sex movie.
And he wanted some Wookiee cookies.
And he starts, you know, smooth talking and distracting the stormtroopers. And he sits one of them down at the gift that he gave Mala.
Yeah.
How would you describe it? It's not like it's not quite a TV. It's not quite a laptop.
It kind of looked like an old school word processor.
Yeah, but it was like a holographic. It was an iPad.
Yeah. That's what it ended up being. It was like a little holographic stage, and Jefferson Starship comes, and they sing a song.
Yeah, there's a music video. It's psychedelic. It's purple.
It was kind of cool.
It was the second coolest thing.
But it went on for too long, and the lead singer looked like they put a lot of neon effects in there, and they put pink neon over the singer's microphone, and it looked like a giant pink dildo. Or maybe that was just me. I don't know.
It's basically in there so that the audience can go to the bathroom.
That's what the commercials were
for. But they won't know that until after it's over.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so the Imperials are, like, knocking through the house and shit. I get a real Christoph Waltz and Inglourious Basterds vibe from them. They're being very, like, where are the rebels? Bring us the rebels!
There's also this thing where, like, the human is protecting the Wookiees from these other humans. Like, it doesn't... Like, does Star Wars not remember that Wookiees can tear a man limb from limb effortlessly? Like, four people in close proximity to a Wookiee are four dead people when the Wookiee wants it.
So Lumpy is being obnoxious. The Imperial is just like, shut him up! And so Mala sits him in front of some cartoons, I guess. Only the cartoon is Star Wars.
It cuts to, like, a pulp fiction animated kids show that stars Luke and Leia and C-3PO and R2-D2 and Han and Chewie.
And Boba Fett!
And that he shows up. This was the first appearance of Boba Fett ever.
Yes.
And it's, frankly, kind of awesome. The animation style is really weird and smooth, and all the faces are freakish. It has a sort of Ralph Bakshi look.
Yeah, it was done by Nelvana, which is a Canadian animation studio that's still around. And it was very Mobius, very heavy metal, both the magazine and the movie. I loved it.
And it watches like a intro story for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Because they, like, Han and Chewie are coming back from space, having stolen a medallion.
A mystical medallion.
That makes you invisible, except Han's tied upside down in the Millennium Falcon. And so Luke goes out and rescues them, and they end up on, like, the bouncy Dr. Seuss goop planet, where spaceships just blorp into goop instead of crashing. And yep. Luke meets Boba Fett, piloting a giant brontosaurus.
Yeah.
Boba Fett saves them from a different monster with his big brontosaurus.
And then they find the Millennium Falcon and find Han upside down, and Chewie has the medallion, and then Luke passes out, and they're like, oh no, it's a poison used by the Empire that only affects humans.
You forget that Chewie destroyed the medallion.
Oh yeah, he throws it out the window. The window to the spaceship, good lord.
It wasn't a window. It was like the fuselage. He threw it into the engine.
Okay, I'll take that.
I'm not sure if we passed it already, but there's a great moment where we see Boba Fett secretly calling Darth Vader, and that is the reveal that, oh no, he's actually a bounty hunter. So we then leave the cartoon for a moment to see Lumpy like, oh, and then we go to actual commercial. So what that means is the cartoon's act break cuts to Lumpy gasping, and then we have our real act break, and then I had a headache.
But what followed was weirder.
Yes.
Because what follows is the stormtroopers come over to, like, check on Lumpy.
Because he made a gasping sound.
And Lumpy, like, changes the channel. Like, they can't catch him watching Star Wars, otherwise they'll know about Star Wars.
If you just had a cartoon, it'd be fine. This framing device.
Like, there's, like, a moment of a weird meta moment of tension where the show breaks. It's, like, the fifth wall. there's a fourth wall breaking show within the show. And so he doesn't get caught. And then we, like, fade back and finish it where Boba Fett helps them get the, like, antidote to the poison. But then C-3PO and R2-D2 spy on him calling Darth Vader. And then you're like, oh, are they going to, like, fight him? Is he going to get, like, driven off by Luke's lightsaber or something? And instead, C-3PO just, like, calls him on it and is like, you work for Darth Vader. And Boba Fett's like, darn, and flies away. Yep.
But there was a chase, though. Was the chase, like, supposed to be...
I mean, there's a chase where, like, Boba flees the city, and there's a nice moment where he can't hit the enemies that are coming after them, and then Chewbacca steals his gun for him. And I was like, oh, that was a cool Chewbacca moment.
No, don't you see? That was all foreshadowing the fact that he was secretly a stormtrooper. What? He couldn't hit anything with his blaster.
Oh, I see.
Who? It's a smart movie.
Boba?
Yeah.
Boba. Boba was the son of a clone trooper.
No.
No, the clone of a clone trooper.
Not at this point. At this point, he was a Brontosaurus rider.
There you go. End of cartoon.
Yes.
So that
was it.
I do want to... I have to ask more about the meta nature of the cartoon. How is the... Like, how does Lumpy have this cartoon? Is it like a documentary? Is it just like rebel propaganda? Like, how does it actually make sense?
The next scene where there is a mandatory viewing for all Imperial troops. Oh shit,
I forgot this.
That flashes onto the television, and then we go to the cantina on Tatooine, where B. Arthur is the proprietress of this establishment. Mm. And
this has like three acts.
Well, so Rachel, basically your answer to what was the deal with the cartoon is, don't worry, the next thing makes less sense.
Yes.
It's a good answer.
But no, it's like, well, why did we watch this whole scene that was happening at the same time, but it had multiple cameras?
Like, because it is required viewing of
the framing device for this is, they're like, this is required viewing by the Empire for, like, daily life on Tatooine.
The emergency broadcast system comes on, and
this some is Imperial viewing.
Imperial bigwig is like, this is required viewing for all members of the Empire.
And that they're like,
we're watching Tatooine because it'll make you appreciate your lives more because it sucks so bad.
And they're like, this is filmed unedited. And cuts inside the bar in Tatooine, where you've got the musicians.
Stop! Too much copyright content.
Sorry. And this has like a couple bits in it, because at first she works, she's like the bartender, and this guy comes up to her who drinks through his the top of his head, and he basically is like in love with her.
And it's also Roger
Harvey.
Harvey Corman. Thank you.
And he just creeps on her for like a couple minutes, talking about those six words that she said to him that like changed his life.
And then thanks for coming. I'll see you next time.
Come back soon. Okay. I'll be waiting.
Come back soon. I'll be waiting.
And like we go on about this and like a cryptic about what the words could be. And then she shouts in another patron and he's downcast and leaves. Then,
no, he just slumps in his chair. He's still there.
Is he?
He doesn't leave.
Well, here's what happens. There's like a time jump, because then the Imperial message comes in that there's a curfew. And then Harvey Corman is kind of just not in the background for a while. So the Empire says, curfew, curfew. And then we are treated to how many goddamn minutes of her trying to just get people out of the cantina.
Wait, though. Here's this is another meta moment, though.
Uh-huh.
Because their emergency broadcast is interrupted by an emergency broadcast.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird. But what kind of business is she running? Because everything is on the house.
Oh, yeah.
So she first, the guy gets sad when there's the miscommunication of her not actually hitting on him. And says, here's another drink. It's this one's on me. And then she's still giving drinks away to people to get them to leave. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, there's a curfew. And like she's like, okay, everybody out of the bar. And no one will leave the bar. They're all like, nah, fuck you.
Somebody pulls a gun on her.
Yes, more people come in and they pull a gun on her to keep drinking in her establishment. It's horrible. I don't know why she wants them anywhere near her.
Now, let me ask you, dear audience. So we're in a gritty, realistic, street-level view of Tatooine.
With Bea Arthur.
With Bea Arthur.
Who only did it because her kid liked Star Wars.
And she's, like, being threatened at gunpoint, and she's being forced to keep her bar open. How would she resolve this in a gritty, down-to-earth, realistic, unedited, unplanned way?
I think she would cheerfully sing at them until they left.
Yes, a musical number seems yeah. right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
With good night and goodbye sung 38 times, defeating the purpose of the word goodbye.
Every time you think it's going to end, the tempo goes up a notch, and it goes another verse, and it goes, oh god, it's endless.
The key goes up. It's the international symbol for there's more song coming!
This was a point where we were like, every time the key went up, we'd be go like, oh no, not again. Finally, this scene ends. And at this point, I thought to myself, it can't get worse.
So the stormtroopers are tossing the little kid's room for no reason.
They're searching for rebel propaganda and shit.
Fine. So no reason. And then they tell him to go clean his room. And so he goes up to his room and pulls out the gift from the shopkeeper, and he builds... There's this another weird Harvey Corman scene.
Roger Corman.
Roger...
No, Harvey!
Damn it! Damn it! I'm sorry.
This is the weirdest scene.
It's so weird! So it's an AI teaching you how to use this device to keep your AI from glitching?
I think,
he's glitching through the whole thing?
No, I think he's an alien that has problems.
No, I think he was a robot.
He's pretty clearly a robot.
Yeah.
But he has electrical problems.
It definitely has problems. And they start with a disclaimer at the beginning of the video, because there's another video in video. Like, the Lumpy watches a video.
And we watch Lumpy watch the video.
Imagine if you watched someone else, like, you're watching a movie.
Imagine if you listened to a podcast where other people described a television show that they watched.
It's worse than that. A lot worse than that. Because it's more like watching a movie in which someone watches a YouTube how-to video on a device that you don't...
Listener, I need you to do us a favor. I need you to record a podcast where you discuss our episode of talking about the Star Wars Holiday Special, and then post that, and you're halfway there.
That's the sixth wall.
Yes, we found it.
Oh, jeez.
I think it's more like if we record a podcast, and like right now, I pulled out one of the IKEA manuals for building furniture. And we start to slowly read it while going to sleep. That's what this scene is like.
Okay, so he builds it to tell the stormtroopers to go home, basically.
Lumpy builds it, that is.
Because yeah, apparently it's like a radio transmitter.
And he uses it to hack into the frequency of the stormtroopers, and he gives them a go home to base message, and they leave.
Except for one.
Yes. And it's at this point where I think I learned the true meaning of Life Day.
Yes.
I think Life Day is about being held at gunpoint. Because only when you're being held at gunpoint do you realize how much you value your life.
That is terrifying and not true, and I really am questioning your life right now.
This is the fictional holiday
in Star Wars.
I see.
So we're like, how are they going to get out of this? Because he's got Lumpy at gunpoint, because he catches Lumpy doing the broadcast, and then Chewie and Han show up and they kill him.
Yeah, they throw him off the treehouse.
This is a hard scene to talk about for me, because I spent the scene being so embarrassed for Harrison Ford. Having, like, everyone else up to that point had avoided being in the same, like, shot as the Wookiees. Like, you could tell they recorded it in a room in 5 minutes on, like, a Thursday, and that was it. Then they took off their costume, and that was done. Poor Harrison Ford had to be there. You're put on a smile and do this.
You're just upset that he had to touch the Lumpy puppet.
It's terrifying. It's a dog with human teeth.
So Life Day is saved because the Empire has now left our Wookiee family alone. The Wookiees are reunited. And then we start seeing the Life Day rituals. So now the Wookiees pull out their
glow lights.
Novelty light bulbs or whatever. I don't know what they are. They're like,
it looked like a string of lights in a snow globe.
In a bell jar, yeah. So all four of our Wookiees are together and they hoist their little glow balls into the sky. And then
we fade to a bunch of Wookiees in gowns.
They fucking ascend.
Do we see, before we go to all of them, is there the shot of like them walking in single file?
Yes. Yeah, they're walking into a light. They're all in space and they're walking in a straight line. Tons of Wookiees. Like way more Wookiees than you thought they would have the budget for. Start walking into this light.
Maybe that's why they were wearing the cloaks, because they couldn't afford all that fun.
Yes, It was absolutely the robes were absolutely just them not having to wear the whole damn outfit.
And then we are treated to a room with many, many Wookiees and a few seconds of about 30 Wookiees going. If you've ever imagined Wookiees in surround sound, don't.
And then suddenly, the entire cast of Star Wars is there.
Right. So at this point, I'm trying to rationalize. Like, okay, so Wookiees have some sort of weird Wookiee mind meld that they can access once a day. It's like Avatar. They've plugged into the life tree, and they're all there in their weird, oddly Mormon garb.
It was very Mormonish.
And then, And then C-3PO.
It was cultish, certainly.
It's very cultish.
The Mormons have a lot to do with space.
And then C-3PO and R2-D2 are there.
Uh-huh.
And, like, wait and a then. Second. And you're like, did what? They astrally project here too?
But they're droids.
Yeah.
And Princess Leia shows up. And Mark Hamill. And
no, you can't say Princess Leia and Mark Hamill.
I got
Princess Leia and Luke.
It's Indiana Jones, the Joker, and the wife from the Burbs. So they're all just there. And then Princess Fisher has a song. Oh no, she has a speech about the Tree of Life. They actually say Tree of Life in this.
Yeah.
And then she sings.
Yep. And we have to remember she's Debbie Reynolds' daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She does have a lovely voice.
Yeah, it was a fine.
It was very confusing though.
I was embarrassed for her too. Just like Carrie. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And the song gets weirdly mixed in with the Star Wars theme. Like, it comes in, it's very peculiar. And then that's Life Day, everybody.
And then, well, the final shot is they're all of our Wookiees are back sitting around Life Day table for a Life Day dinner with their orbs.
And they bow their heads in prayer? It's very strange.
So I have a rant.
Rant away.
I think this might be the finest disappointment ever. Can you imagine it's 1978. Star Wars, you saw it like last year. It was amazing. You saw it 7 times in theaters. There's going to be a Christmas special. Star Wars is going to be on TV. Oh my God. It's the best time to live. So you sit down, all your friends get together, and you pack yourselves in for one like tiny little TV, and this thing comes on.
It's not even the Hulk.
It's not the Hulk. It's not Wonder Woman. It's the Star Wars Christmas special. And this insult happens, where every scene is torture. I cannot imagine how soul-crushing it would be.
Well, I was looking at IMDb, and somebody said they were 14 in 1978, loved Star Wars, spent 10 minutes watching it, or 15 minutes watching it, and turned it off because it was so boring.
So was this the worst holiday special ever?
Carol Christmas was really bad.
This
was not a good show. I kind of get what they were trying to do, like a non-sectarian holiday special.
Was it really commentary on how bad other holiday specials are?
No.
Okay. No.
Well, then this was really bad.
So, as bad as this was, I did find myself laughing a lot.
You did.
We...
Because it was so absurdly bad.
We were broken by this.
Oh, yeah.
I cracked several times. One of which was in the opening credits, where they just start listing all the people who are in the damn show.
Which is a totally normal thing.
Yeah. But I would say A Carol Christmas was more arduous, because as bad as this was, it was sort of...
It was engrossingly
bad. It was engaging in its awfulness. Unlike A Carol Christmas, which was just sort of like... I don't want to insult vanilla ice cream by calling it vanilla.
It was like tofu ice cream.
No, tofutti is very good. You know, it was more like food without salt. Carol Christmas was food with no salt.
Rice gruel.
And this was more like food, but for some reason they poured Pop Rocks on it.
It's like, okay, if A Carol Christmas was nails on a chalkboard, Star Wars Holiday Special was like you go to scratch the chalkboard and somehow a French horn sound happens.
That's fairly accurate. If Carol Christmas was like ping pong, this was playing a game with all of the wrong balls and like sticks and equipment.
Yeah, it was a Calvin ball quality to it. Yeah,
it was like watching a game of pool but with no holes to stick the balls in.
That's an actual game. That's an actual
You're blowing my mind here.
I'm so sorry. It's more like watching a pool game, but there are no balls. There are just a bunch of Legos on the...
No, it's like watching somebody watch somebody play the game that you're describing.
It's like listening to a podcast about describing a game about a show with Legos instead of balls.
Perfect.
La la la. Anyway. That's gonna do it for us for 2019 on The Worst Show on Earth. But don't worry, we'll be back in January with a whole new season and a new series to dissect. If you enjoyed our media masochism, please do leave us a rating on your podcast platform of choice. And don't forget to subscribe. We'd also love to hear from you. If you want to reach out and correct us on some esoteric Star Wars canon that I'm sure we winced up, you can send an email to worstshowonearth@gmail.com to complain, compliment, or whatever. Again, that's worstshowonearth@gmail.com. And if you just can't get enough of us, you can watch Alex, Tachi, and myself on the Scabby Rooster Twitch channel. We're on a show Sundays called The Demi Dozen, an actual play of the Scion 2nd Edition RPG system, where we play the Chosen of the Gods of old, going on modern-day adventures. Check it out at twitch.tv/scabbyrooster. Until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is.
Good night, my friends.
Next time you're dry, friend, try stopping by, friend, if there's a light in the place. dry, friend, but we survive, friend. Look, we're alive, friend, you and I. So say goodnight, friend. Good night, but not goodbye.